What's going on, everybody? This is Vix, the Angel of Metal, your host for The Killer Show over the next hour on Preston FM. We have got a great show for you today. We're jam-packed full of metal and rock, but also we have an interview with a guitarist, Andy James from Sacred Mother Tongue. They are a fantastic band, and they have got a debut album coming out, which is called The Ruin of Man. And here he is. It is Andy James from Sacred Mother Tongue. Hello, man.
How's it going?
I'm not too bad. How about yourself?
Yeah, good, thanks. Good, just chilling out this afternoon.
So what are you going to be up to later? Because it's, like, Friday night, so what are you going to be up to?
I'm going to check out that new horror film in 3D, that My Bloody Valentine.
Lovely.
Yeah, that should be good fun for tonight. Just me and a mate. I've got this kind of sadistic mate that likes to take me to horror films, and because I don't really like him, but he likes to sit there and watch me squirm, so... This one's in 3D, so it's even better. Things are going to come out of the screen and frighten me.
Oh, so it's going to be The Exorcist all over again. I can see it now.
Yeah.
Okay, so you are the guitarist of Sacred Mother Tongue. So what actually inspired you to pick up the guitar?
A short answer to that is probably Slash from Guns N' Roses. I was like a massive GNR fan when I was about 11, 12. And I started playing. Started playing piano like before, and then when I got to like the age of 12, I asked my dad for a guitar, and he went, "Yeah, all right." And he bought me one, and that was it. Really, I just sort of never put it down.
What you've been studying at like college, you know, doing like music business and performing, and of course going to the Guitar Institute in London to further, you know, your playing technique.
Yeah.
You're a pretty dedicated musician.
Yeah. Well, I mean, That's pretty much all I did, I think, from the age of 12 till about 18. Probably playing for about 8 hours a day, something like that. Had no social life whatsoever. But I sort of like, you know, after I sort of hit 18 and I moved out, I sort of made up for it. And I sort of went to GRT, but I discovered kind of like being a student and stuff like that, and booze and all that sort of thing, and girls as well. So, I mean, I still practice a lot. I mean, I kind of do it for a living. At the moment, I just predominantly spend most of my time teaching and stuff, and doing the band.
But when did you join at Sacred Mother Tongue? Tell me a bit about the band's history.
Well, I haven't been in it from the beginning. I believe the band's about 4 years old, something like that. And there's been various lineup changes over the years. But I had a phone call from a friend of mine, Giz Buck. He'd been trying to get me in a band for like ages because I'd just split up with another band and I wasn't really doing anything. And I was sitting there watching the Wimbledon final on Sunday 2007, I think. And he phoned me up and go, "I've got this band you might be interested in." So I got home and I checked it out, and I really liked this stuff. And I got in contact with the old guitarist, Craig, and we had a good old chat. And... I literally just sort of joined the band after that, really. I went down for, like, a meeting, and they seemed to really like me. They'd already checked the stuff out anyway, so I think they were just interested in meeting me as a person. And I had a couple of demos to sort of play in as well, just to sort of, like, go, you know, I can write as well. And, they seemed to go for it. So, about 2 years ago I joined the band.
There are quite a lot of metal bands out there, but what was it about Sacred Mother Tongue?
When I checked the stuff out in the MySpace, I think the first thing that hit me was Darren the singer on a song called Forcefed. And I'd been put up for a few bands previous, and I kind of wasn't really interested, just because the singer, I suppose, more than anything, kind of let the bands down. But once I'd heard this, band, I thought, yeah, you know, that guy can sing. And, the drummer's awesome as well, and Josh, the bass player, they're all really good musicians. I think that's the thing that sets it apart, is that I didn't expect to kind of end up in a band, you know, where all the players would be really awesome, you know, and we get on great as well, and, you know, we write it well together. And, it just kind of works, so here we are.
One of your songs, after 1 week of releasing the single, which is 2800, for those of you who don't know, and it stormed to number 4, and that is pretty rad. I mean, other bands are in there as well, you know, like Bullet for My Valentine and Nickelback and stuff like that. So it's such an achievement for you guys. So you must be like patting yourselves on the back, and yeah.
Yeah, it was really great. I mean, I don't think we really expected it to happen, to be honest. I mean, we thought it was a good song, and we decided that out of like two songs we had, The Suffering, which was the B-side to the single in the end, and we decided to go with 2800 because I suppose it was one of those songs where it's got like a, you know, a big chorus and there's loads of stuff going on in it. And yeah, we just sort of released it, didn't really know how it was going to do, you know. We'd had a gig in London just beforehand just to kind of, you know, advertise that a single was coming out. And yeah, you know, a week later we sort of discovered that it had been creeping up the charts throughout the whole week, and then it ended up at number four, so we were all really chuffed. It was amazing.
So tell me about your debut album, Ruin of Man, which is going to be released on the 13th of April. So make sure you get it, guys, on Transcend Records, about the writing and the types of songs that are on the album.
Okay, well, yeah, I mean, a lot of the writing, I think, was done initially just from, like, demos that I shoved together. I mean, I'm pretty much the only person in the band that doesn't really have a sort of 9-to-5 job, so I've got a lot of time on my hands to sort of write and do stuff. I mean, that was one of the reasons, I think, that got me in the band in the first place, was, you know, just being able to write. So, I mean, I'd come up with demos and then I'd just sort of send them over to the singer and he'd listen to them, edit them all together, how he sort of thinks it should sound. I mean, I write things fairly sort of, I suppose, stock, if you like, just to kind of get the idea out of my head. And then he's got a really good ear for how songs are supposed to sort of, you know, go together. And then he'll come up with some melody lines. And then once it's all edited together, then the drummer will start putting bits together. And then Josh, the bass player, he'd be kind of writing basic, because I'm not a bass player, so I'd be putting lines on there which are just really basic. And yeah, so we decided to sort of go in the studio, do 2800 in January last year. And then we've been in the studio with Scott Atkins at Grindstone since July. And yeah, we've just been tracking the album, and it's been finished for a while, really. We've just been doing, you know, bits and pieces just to kind of make sure that we're really happy with it. But I think it's going to be different maybe than what people expect, because 2800 is, I suppose, quite a commercial metal song. But a lot of the album, there's some sort of twists and turns in songs that are probably a little less commercial, if I can say that. And yeah, so I mean, I think it's a really good mix of, like, you know, the old school Sacred Mother Tongue and the new sound of Sacred Mother Tongue kind of fused together. So I think it's going to be, you know, a really good album. We're really proud of it. So.
Well, I absolutely love it. And we're going to be playing your 2800 single, which reached number four. So we're going to be going to that track, and we're going to catch up with Andy later on. So enjoy the tracks, and speak to you soon. Hells yeah, that was Sacred Mother Tongue with 2800, and I am here with their guitarist, Andy James. Hello, man.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm not too bad, how about you?
Yeah, good, thanks, good.
So, talk a bit about artwork. Now, I know people can't see what the artwork looks like, but it's basically got a Grim Reaper and some skinny guy giving him a grenade.
Yeah, the album cover is just Grim Reaper. He sort of features on quite a lot of the album cover, and with his like bony hand, he's handing like grenades out to just this kind of queue of withered men. And it's just kind of, I suppose, like depicting, as the title suggests, the ruin of man. You know, so there's kind of like this sort of burnt out city in the background that looks like it's just been bombed. And yeah, the Grim Reaper's kind of encouraging all these people to sort of, like, destroy the world or whatever. So, yeah, it's quite a cheery cover, really.
You're a happy band.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, there's definitely some issues that we've, you know, sort of life issues that are dealt with in some of the songs on this album. So I think, you know, a lot of it is kind of sort of derived from that, really.
Okay.
And also the Darren, the singer, he's got a sort of sleeve tattoo from his shoulder right down to his wrist, and you know the theme of that is also man's ruin as well, which is like gambling, you know, and all that sort of thing. So it's kind of a bit of a theme going on.
So the album's all about him then?
No. Well, no, but he writes a lot of the lyrics, and I suppose how it's all come out, it's got a sort of running theme through it, if you like. But you know, all the lyrics are printed in the album, so, you know, if anybody picks up a hard copy, they can see what it's all about. In fact, actually, I sat through the other day with the album, and, you know, because some of it screened, and I'm thinking, what is he actually going on about? So I just sat down listening to it, and, yeah, it makes a lot of sense when you know, you sit down and you actually look at it.
Okay, cool. What are the standout tracks for you? I mean, I've got a list of my favourite tracks off the album, but what tracks for you actually stand out, and what are your favourites?
A couple of favourites of mine is Anger and Reflection, which I think is going to be our next single, actually, but don't quote me on that. And Man You Try to Hide, which is actually an old Sacred Mother Tongue song, but we've sort of revamped it a little bit and rewritten it in some places. Yeah, that's definitely one of my favourites off the album. It's really, you know, quite hard-hitting, and it's a bit progressive as well, especially like throughout the middle of it, so it's quite an interesting track.
Some of my favourites are, you know, The End. It's an amazing opener. I mean, I think it's good for bands to just, you know, basically just grab the listener and just say, this is what we're all about. But also as well, I mean, of course, 2800 is a good one as well. And also The Suffering as well.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I think like the 2800 and The Suffering, obviously we sort of wrote those fairly early on in my period in the band. So they, you know, they're sort of a bit older. But yeah, like The End you mentioned, it's funny because that was kind of a song that I think was probably one of the last to be written. And I think it was kind of fused together from a few ideas. It was one of them ones that didn't come together straight away. But yeah, it's a really good track, really good groove to sort of like open the album. And I think that was the whole idea, you know, was just to sort of, you know, I mean, I think we were going to sort of like maybe put an intro on the album, and we just kind of thought, well, you know, let's take that song. It's got a really heavy intro, and we just thought, let's put that on, and it's just going to, you know, try and smack people between the eyes with the opening of the album. So, you know, that's the reason why we put that on first.
It certainly does, man. But also, as well, I hear that you got a music video coming out. Hopefully.
Yeah, I guess so. We've got to sort of like sit down and discuss what we're actually going to do for it. But I think, yeah, I said Anger and Reflection was going to be the next single. I think that's the video that you're talking about. And yeah, we've got to sit down and discuss a few concepts for that, and, you know, decide what we're going to do. But that's going to be the next video that we release. So watch this space.
If you was directing that video, I mean, I'm a media student at the moment, but if you was directing that video, what would you have going on in it? Now be kind.
Yeah, I don't know really, because, you know, I can play guitar and write songs, but I think that's about as far as my artistic integrity goes.
Get off.
I'm not really conceptually sort of like someone that thinks, oh yeah, that'd be... I mean, to be honest, I think out of anybody in the band that would contribute less to what a video should have in it, it would probably be me. Because I'd probably just say, yeah, let's just set up in... I don't know, a forest or something, and it's just sort of jam. I don't know, really. We need to sort of sit down and discuss it, but yeah, I think I'll probably keep my silly opinions to myself, probably.
Okay, cool. So watch this space then for that possible music video that's going to be coming out soon. So we're going to go back into the music with one of my favourite tracks, and I think we're also going to play the possible new single off The Ruin of Man. So we're going to play The Suffering and also Anger on Reflection. Enjoy, people. Alright, that was Sacred Mother Tongue with Anger on Reflection, and before that you heard The Suffering. I've got Andy James, the guitarist from Sacred Mother Tongue, on the line. How you doing, man?
Alright, good, thanks, good.
Both good songs?
Yeah, but do you say so myself, I suppose.
Okay, well, let's mention your DVDs. You do two, like, tutorial DVDs on the Lick Library, and some of the... playing styles that you have covered have been like from Slayer to Joe Satriani to Motorhead to Pantera plus others. So who was the most challenging to master?
I don't know. I suppose Slayer was challenging because Kerry King's got such an erratic guitar style, you know, trying to recreate it to teach somebody is pretty difficult. You know, when you get something like Joe Satriani, it's fairly, you know, fairly structured and, you know, you can easily figure out what's going on. I suppose it's quite, you know, challenging. But I've had a few sort of different... I've just done learned to play Trivium, and I suppose that was fairly challenging in places because, you know, they got a lot going on in their songs. I suppose the most challenging thing with that, I suppose, is just sitting in front of a camera and making sure that, you know, you get it right and, you know, you do a good product so people don't sort of, like, phone up and go, this guy doesn't know anything. Why you got him, you know, working for you?
Can I just ask you something? Did you, because, I mean, you said, like, the most awkward thing is, like, sitting in front of a camera, but did you actually do them in, like, one take? Because not with the tutorial DVD, you can't really, like, edit it. You know, from what I've seen, you've had, like, two cameras, I think. Of course, the editing together with, like, the fingers and stuff like that and how they move and which chord to play and stuff. But did you have to do it in one take?
Well, there's three cameras, so, I mean, if you do, like, stuff up anything, then... Yeah, you know, they can cut to another camera, but, I mean, generally, for sort of, like, helping the editors out and stuff, you know, it's best to kind of have as little sort of, like, you know, messy bits in there as possible, really, especially when teaching, because I suppose the idea of it is to sort of flow well enough, you know, so it's not all, like, you know, cut together and, you know, it doesn't flow very well, so... I mean, you have to do, like, performances of the songs as well, and that also helps that, you know, if you're going to make any mistakes, maybe one or two is probably, you know, okay, but especially when you're doing, like, lengthy solos, and when I've done some of my own stuff as well, and some of that's just, like, relentless sort of guitar playing, they can't really cut, you know, halfway in between what you're doing to another camera if you mess it up, so you have to sort of be able to do things in whole takes, but... Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I've got used to it. I've been doing it for, you know, over 2 years now. And, you know, once you've been doing something for ages, you just get used to how things work and, you know, it sort of becomes like riding a bike, really.
But what's your most favourite style of playing?
I'd probably have to say metal, to be honest. You know, especially all the riffing that's going on and, you know, like soloing as well. I mean, like, I suppose before I joined the band, I was doing a lot of instrumental guitar stuff. So I suppose, I mean... That's probably like a big part of my playing is soloing and, you know, doing, I suppose, guitar sort of acrobatics, if you like. Just because it's fun, really. I suppose more than anything, you know, why not? You know, sometimes you get bored of just sitting there playing chords all the time, you know. And I suppose I didn't really learn how to play chords until about 3 or 4 years into playing guitar. So I've sort of done it about, you know, backwards, really.
Okay, fair enough. So where can you get these tutorial DVDs for beginners or extraordinaires?
Well, licklibrary.com is the best place to get them. You can get them on some sites. I think guitar9.com do them. Amazon do them. You can get them on eBay as well. Hopefully they're not ones that people are getting rid of. It is actually an eBay shop where you can get the DVDs, so... Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, there's plenty of places, really. I suppose if you know what you're looking for, you can type it into Google or whatever and it'll come up. But, yeah, you know, the Lick Library site is obviously the best place to... All the titles under one roof, really, so you can see what's available.
Now, we're going to be talking about festivals. Festivals happen all year round, but two ones, Sacred Mother Song, are going to be played at are, of course, Hellfire Festival, which is happening later on this month in London, Islington. And also, of course, another one is going to be at Hammer Fest as well, which is a Metal Hammer Festival. So you can catch the boys there. So are you looking forward to playing at those venues, Andy?
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be good. I mean, I must admit, I've never been to the Islington Academy, even to see a band, so I don't know what to expect. Hopefully it's going to be really cool. And I think Hammerfest is over in Wales.
Prestatyn.
Yeah, it's in Pontins or something.
Yeah, I went there for Hard Rock Hell this year, and it was quite eventful.
We did one of the Hard Rock Hells we did down in, was it Exeter? Somewhere like that. I think they've got like
I think it was at Mindhead, the first one.
That's the one, yeah, that's the one.
You was there?
Yeah, we played there, yeah.
So was I.
Oh, really?
Never saw you.
No, we were sort of like on the out-of-the-way stage.
Oh, not the Crazy Horse stage?
I don't know, I can't remember now.
I seriously, that venue was so confusing. I literally only found, I think, in total, two arenas, and that was it. It was really confusing, but I really enjoyed myself.
Yeah, it was good. We didn't really, we didn't stay there for the weekend, I think, because we were going to, but something happened. But yeah, I managed to see Cradle of Filth. They were playing. Romeo Must Die were there as well. We were playing with at Hellfire Festival. They were awesome. Really good band. Yeah, and that's about it, really.
Cool. So you could check out those guys if you go to any of those festivals. You can check them out there. But the most important question, man, when are you touring?
That's a really good question. Well, I suppose the plan is, you know, when the album comes out, we're just going to sort of like, you know, full steam ahead, sort of go out and literally play everywhere that we can, you know, hopefully not just in the UK, but, you know, abroad as well, hopefully in some places in Europe. But there are a couple of things floating about that, you know, may get confirmed, may not get confirmed. But as soon as they are, they'll be going on the MySpace and, you know, you guys can check it out and find out where to come and see us. So yeah, again, you know, it's another watch this space, but hopefully in the next sort of like 2 weeks to a month or so, there'll be something to announce. So
now, to check out the band, you can go on their MySpace, as Andy said, for all the updates. So myspace.com/sacredmothertongue. I'd like to thank Andy for coming on my show. Thank you so much, man.
That's all right, no worries, thanks for having me.
Now we're coming up to the end of the show, so I am going to be playing the title track of the album. Check me out on my website, angellamel.com, also on the MySpace, myspace.com/angelofmetalmusic, and a chance to win a Soulfly poster, which I have with me right now. I am so jealous of you listeners out there. You can email me your name and address if you want to win the Soulfly artwork poster. I am going to be seeing those guys tomorrow and interviewing with Mark Rizzo, so it's all going to be rocking here on The Killer Show as well. So if you want to win the poster, then just email me your name and address to angel@angelometal.com. Thank you so much again, and keep it loud until next week.